When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
It's Wendy in for Bob. Bob Surratt is back tomorrow, and we go live to Ukraine and check in with Joseph Lindsley this morning. Good morning, Joseph.
Wendy, hello from Kyiv, and it's a pleasant day here, much cooler than it was the past few weeks, low 70s, and we're still in this period of calm here. It's been more than 3 weeks since a major attack on Kyiv City, and this is, you know, as I said yesterday, the longer these periods of calm go on, people wonder, okay, what's next? But even despite that, underneath that. There still are serious electricity problems. That's not going away. The electrical grid is so broken here. In fact, Penny Pritzker, who's the U.S. special representative for the recovery of Ukraine's economy, she was here the past few days. It's her last trip to Ukraine. Her position, interestingly, is expiring. Her term expires in September, and so far it does not seem that Washington, either Congress or the White House, is going to renew that position. But she was talking about some of these challenges that Ukraine faces. She pointed out that right now, 50% of Ukraine's electricity is coming from nuclear, from the nuclear grid, even though the largest nuclear plant in Europe and in Ukraine is occupied by the Russians. But Ukrainians still can produce nuclear power. But this is one of the ways Russia has been able to hurt Ukraine the most. And as I looked at Penny Pritzker's remarks, and she seemed very sad that this is the last time she'll be here, she was, you know, giving her advice to Ukraine, and she was speaking a bit optimistically, you know, talking about the growth even in the past year in the tech sector here. And indeed, I mean, I think last year in 2023, because of all the wartime-driven innovation, there was a lot of growth here. You know, people, figure out how to tinker with drones and how to make them more effective. And that leads into other projects. And some of that has turned into businesses, and you get investors, sort of brave, sturdy investors from the U.S. who come here to boost these projects. There also are entire teams of volunteers in secret places in the west of Ukraine from all over the world that make drones. They're making great drones. This is the group called the Frontline Kitchen. They started off making food, and now they're making drones.
Jeez.
And they can produce them at a very cheap price because they're all volunteers. And so you see this great innovation. But what Mrs. Pritzker, I think, was missed in her remarks, and probably something she can't say. Of course, she is from Chicago. For all the optimism you can see looking at the stats from the past year, there's one glaring problem. And this I hear from many business people throughout the country, especially small to medium business. Because of the new conscription reality, it's very difficult to plan for your business. I mean, not only do people start to lose customers, but especially, you know, the team of engineers or programmers or designers that you rely on, you can't do that because anyone can, you know, any male between the ages of 25 to 60 could be conscripted quite quickly. And then, so it's very hard to plan for your business. There's plenty of roles. Ukrainian women have stepped up to do a lot of that, but it does make it difficult to plan. And this has been, you know, a year ago, there were sort of glowing reviews from foreign entrepreneurs who came to Ukraine, you know, how easy, you know, people had every motivation to do a good job. And it was easy to hire people. And that reality is slipping away because, you know, we can talk all we want about economic recovery, but if Ukraine doesn't have, crucially, the permission to hit Russian bases from which Russia attacks and constantly threatens Ukraine, and to have the tools to push the Russians back at the front line, they're going to continue to bleed out.
Well, 3 weeks of calm at this point is great. We hope that continues. You also mentioned yesterday and brought to light the Ukrainian people looking at the Russians participating in the Olympics, and I never thought of it. There were a couple of Ukrainian athletes. Here's the news we have. Heavyweight boxing champion Alexander Usyk has come to Paris to support Ukrainian athletes, and and Ukrainian fencer dedicated medal to countrymen killed. Are you up on this?
Indeed. The fencer, Olga Karlin, she won, I believe she won the gold medal. And she was, you know, she was overcome by emotion and, you know, dedicated that, of course, to her country. And then to have, you know, and I see that America has Snoop Dogg in the Olympics, where Ukraine has Usyk, who's a big hero and well-loved throughout the country because he's represented Ukraine on the international boxing stage. And you know, these... I think even this is important even for the guys at the front lines to know that Ukraine, because, you know, people don't see what they're doing at the front. They don't see the extraordinary effort it takes. And, you know, it's hard to see how much worse things could be if Ukraine had fallen and where would Russia be right now. But people can see the prowess of the athletes. And so this is you know, it's important. It is something that matters. Even it, I think when you're, you know, facing ballistic missiles and bullets. And, you know, I think, and also to see the, you know, Ukrainians want to show the world who they are. You know, it's not, this is not about, I think it's a hard thing for Americans to see, but this is not about a government. This is about people. Ukrainians have plenty of frustrations with their government. And they don't, you know, they're always critical of leadership and those and bureaucrats. But this is really about the people and who they are. And so much so, I mean, you know, you think about, I've been talking a lot with people about the differences between Ukraine and Russia and trying to define, you know, how we got to this point. And probably I've mentioned this before, but even, you know, Ukrainian word for victory is paramoha, which literally, if you break it down, it means overcoming might, overcoming your possibility. So every time you say to victory, you're saying we're going to do the impossible, which is really what we're facing here. And the Russian word for victory is pobeda, which means after the miserable things, after the suffering. So when the Russians talk about victory, it's in a very negative way. It's in the sense of we're going to get through this miserable stuff somehow, and that's the victory. But for Ukrainians, it is this very Olympian ideal of saying, I know, I feel what my limits are, and I'm going to try to go beyond it. That's literally the definition of victory in Ukrainian language.
What number is this? How many days has Ukraine been at war?
Oh, you're testing me. I should know.
Well, just ballpark.
880, I think it's 886 today of the full scale invasion.
Okay.
And so we're getting up there. And many of those days, you know, we've been talking here. I mean, it's amazing that the people of Chicago, the third biggest city in the U.S., have followed along with this story. And you know, just 10 minutes a day. I think this is incredible. And I think we're kind of in the scene in a superhero movie, like you look at Christopher Nolan's Batman movies, where the superhero is pretty bloodied. He's getting a lot of, you know, a lot of people criticizing him and questioning him and encouraging him to give up you know, saying you need to do this or that better. This is the phase of the superhero story that we're in right now.
Well, I love talking to you. I love hearing you with Bob every morning. It's been happening for 886 days, ballpark. What is your opinion? When do you think this will ever end, Joseph?
Well, I go back to that definition of the word victory. You know, in the Ukrainian mindset, it's doing the impossible and overcoming limitations. And I think you see that when, for example, in May, it seemed that Kharkiv was going to fall. And I know that for months, going back to at least January, American reporters and American political people, they had given up on Kharkiv City. That's that second biggest city in Ukraine, one of my favorite places in the world, a vibrant city, but often attacked by Russia, 30 miles from the border. They'd given up on it. And I think they were kind of, many people were secretly hoping that Kharkiv could be exchanged after it was ruined. And then someone gets a Nobel Peace Prize. But Kharkiv refused to relent. And in May, that city was but it was being destroyed in May. And Ukraine and people who supported Ukraine put such clear pressure on the White House. Hey, let us at least protect Kharkiv in a small way. Let us hit Russians on Russian soil, you know, where they're bombing Kharkiv from traffic jams across the border in Russia. And finally, the White House said, OK, you can hit back in a very limited way. And that worked. And Kharkiv became safer. And so if we can keep building up in ways like that, you can all of a sudden begin to weaken Russia and move towards safer cities and eventually toward Ukraine. But what we see now is, even though we have a clear demonstration that when Ukraine can fight back, it actually works, Russia, instead of following through in their nuclear threats, becomes weaker. Instead, we have no one talking about this right now, except for, Ukrainians. Why is there no permission? If we show that it works in the past, why can't you give Ukraine permission to hit more Russian bases and begin to put an end to this? And so if there's not a change in Washington, no matter who's in charge, they seem to all kind of, despite the rhetoric, I think most people sort of deep down agree in Washington that they don't want to push things too quickly for victory. So that if that can change, then there can be a good end to this. If not, it's going to be a slow bleed, as we're starting to see.
Yeah. Well, I wish you the best. I hope the calm continues. Bob is back tomorrow, so you will speak to him tomorrow morning. Have a great evening, Joseph. Thank you so much.
Wendy, always great to speak with you. I look forward to our next conversation.
Absolutely. You can go to UkrainianFreedomNews.com.